Romans 5, verses 6 to 8. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for even a good man someone would dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Tonight's message is entitled, God Demonstrates His Love. God demonstrates his love. He shows his love against the black backdrop of sin. The love of God shines the brightest against the darkest backdrop. Look at verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You cannot understand his love until, and Father, I would pray that if it be your will, that you would cause each and every person that hears this message to pray to you, that they would see the heinousness, the wickedness, the blackness of this sin. For it is only against that background that we can see your great love. It is only against the background of our sin and what God has done for us that we can understand his great love. As much as you think God loves you because of your desire, your desirability, how desirable you are, or however lovely you are, your love of God will be diminished by that same amount. Whatever amount you think that God loves you because of what you do, your love of God will be diminished by that same amount. If you think that you are lovely, then God is not that lovely to you. Christ said, the one that is forgiven much, loves much. If we think that we deserve God's love, we cannot be secure in it. If you think you deserve God's love, you can't be secure in it because you'll always be afraid of doing something to lessen or destroy his love. If God's love for me is dependent on my performance, then how does he love me when I fail? When I don't measure up? So that's why you have to understand your condition, which Paul will show us here in Romans. Your condition apart from God's grace. That makes his love that much more glorious. And that's why I prayed just before. If you're not loving the Lord the way that you think that you should, I would pray to God that you would meditate, you would ruminate, you would chew and digest and chew it over and over and over how heinous sin really is. Because once you do that, you will see how glorious the Father's love is for you. If you deserve God's love, you cannot be secure in it. You cannot. Only knowing God loved you in spite of your sin can you be secured. It wasn't until I saw these verses 20-something years ago when a pastor brought them out. And he said, are you without strength? Are you powerless? Are you an enemy of God? Are you a sinner? Then I have good news for you. God loves you in that condition. Not I clean myself up and get myself right. Let us look at whom God loves. Who does God love? I hear all the time, God loves you. Well, who does he love? Verse 6. For when we were without strength, or some translations have powerless, he loved you when you were without strength. Let me read verse 5 so I set that context in Romans 5. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So Paul's saying this is something that has happened. The love of God has been poured out. And then in the very next verse, he says, and this is when it was poured out. It wasn't after you did some fine thing for him, but when you were powerless, not able to do even one small thing to please God or to achieve salvation. What are we unable to do? Look at 1 Corinthians 2:14. For you who would think that the natural man can turn to God in and of himself, what is it that we're powerless to do? 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. That's an unregenerate person. The natural man does not, cannot, most of all, will not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's why there's no seekers. They're not seekers because they cannot discern. They cannot spiritually discern, nor can he know them. The natural man cannot receive the things of God. That's what it means by being powerless. That's what Christ was telling Nicodemus in John 3. Look at John 3. He's saying, Nicodemus, you're powerless, dude. Well, let's start off with verse 1 of John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, the religious person and a ruler. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, but no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's a declarative statement. That's not a statement that's open to a possibility. People look at that and say, oh, well, there's the possibility that a person can be saved. Jesus Christ is making the declarative statement. I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's what it means, powerless. That's why Christ has to come. That's why the Father comes, gives you faith, gives you a new heart. Then all of a sudden you can see the kingdom of God. Verse 5 and 6. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. First of all, cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Secondly, cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's every human being. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Powerless. Romans 3:11. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. No one seeks after God because they're powerless. And every one of us that is regenerated was powerless. We were unable to. Turn to Ephesians 2. Powerless. And until you see yourself as being powerless, the love of God is not that glorious to you. I turned to him. I accepted him. I sought after him. I opened my heart after all to him. Powerless people, just right there, when people say about opening your heart, that's not powerless. If you're powerless, a person cannot open their heart. So when somebody, an evangelist, asks somebody to do that, they're asking them to do something that's impossible. Open your heart. You're telling a dead person, open their heart. Ephesians 2, verses 1, 2, 3. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Powerless. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also, notice, Paul was a southerner. We all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and notice, and were by nature Notice, children of wrath. No matter what you would think about your relatives, your neighbors, your co-workers, no matter what you think about any other human being, the Bible says, and were by nature children of wrath. And until you see that God loved you so much that He came to you when you were powerless and He took you out of that situation, the love of God is not that glorious to you. It doesn't mean that much to you. That's why you're not passionate about His love. Because you think you were a pretty fine individual. We're by nature children of wrath. Then His love kind of means something to me. When I see that that was my true condition, I didn't see myself as a seeker on a journey, but one that was by nature a child of wrath. And God loved me then. What are we unable to do? Powerless. Secondly, in the text, Paul says, turn back to Romans 5. For when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the what? The ungodly. Well, I'm in good shape because I'm still ungodly. I'm still ungodly. Ungodly. Same idea as Romans 1:18 that Paul started off with. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. That was the wrath that the Lord was revealing and is revealing towards the ungodly. Those that are by nature, children of wrath, ungodly, fierce opposition to God's sovereignty. That's what it means. Just look, you're a child of God now. And look at the fierce opposition to God. God says, you do this, and you say, yeah, well, I think about it. Maybe I'll do that. We're regenerated with the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And we oppose His will. Ungodly means fiercest opposition to God's sovereignty. You don't want God's rule. You oppose God's holiness. You oppose His omniscience. And you oppose His immutability. That's what ungodly means. You hate the fact that God's immutable, that He won't change. You hate that. You hate the fact that He's omniscient, that He knows everything about you. You hate His holiness, because you know that that requires you not to sin any longer. And you hate His absolute sovereignty, especially here in this country. I am free to do what I want. I have the right. That's what ungodly means. Fierce opposition. And God Almighty demonstrates His love towards you when you were in that condition. And He demonstrates His love towards you every day when you still willfully oppose Him. Every single day. And if your salvation is based on your performance, then guess what? You're damned. Or is it, well, my performance again tomorrow. Lord, I won't do that tomorrow. I'll do this for you tomorrow. Ungodly. Powerless. Notice. Back to the text. Romans 5. For when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Go down to verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us while we were still sinners. Still sinners. Romans 3:23. Powerless, ungodly sinners. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And God said He demonstrated His love towards you when you were in that condition. That was the point of Jesus Christ in Matthew 22, showing men and women their sinfulness, to drive them to see their need of a Savior. Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39. Well, once again, let me start at 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked them a question, testing them and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus says to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Unless you do that all the time, every second of every day, all of your life, you are a sinner. And we're not even talking about Adam's sin. That's your condition. And until you truly see that, and that God Almighty loves you in spite of that, His love is minuscule to you. He kind of likes you. He doesn't passionately love you. That He loves you so much that He sent His own Son to die for you. And not only powerless, not only an enemy. I mean, not only powerless, ungodly sinner, but verse 10 of Romans, I'm just going to touch on it. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son." That's a pretty strong term. Once again, that is not God loves everybody. That is, you were His enemy. No matter what you think in and of yourself, the Bible says to you, you were His enemy. I wasn't His enemy. I've always liked God. I've always loved God. I've always known God. Well, then you're saying the Bible is a lie. Paul says this was man's condition apart from Christ. You were His enemy. That is the condition when God Almighty saved you. And if you see yourself as a powerless, ungodly sinner who was God's enemy, then His love means something to you. Then you could say, "Yes, Lord, the one that has been forgiven much loves much. Powerless, ungodly sinner that's an enemy of God. That's not too good for self-esteem. That's not too good in lifting man up. But is it the God's honest truth of what the Bible teaches? As Boyce said, is it the truth? Not do you like it? Does it feel good? Is this going down smooth? Is it the God's honest truth? And it is against this backdrop of humanity's sins does the brightness of God's love shine. The blacker the picture, the more glorious His love is. When it says His enemy, this is what it means. Unlike the previous three terms, not only are we unable to save ourselves, that we are opposed to God in the sense that we would attack Him and destroy Him, being like Satan, we would dethrone God. That's what it means as an enemy. When God threw Satan out of heaven, when Satan said, "I will ascend onto your throne, I will be as God," Satan became the enemy of God. And every single time we say to the Lord, "I'm going to have my will be done," we're saying the same five I wills as Satan said. And that's the point that Paul's trying to make when he says, you were His enemy. Powerless, ungodly sinner. And it's against that backdrop that He demonstrates His love. Now I would ask you the question, would you love a person like that? That hated you? That wished you ill will? That didn't care about you? That was opposed to you and everything? We've looked at the dark side of man. oppose God, destroy them if possible. But it's against that backdrop that God demonstrates His great love. The condition was so bad. Realize this. And Paul mentions this in Galatians. That if you could earn your salvation, then this was absolutely criminal of the Father to do this. Notice in verses 6, 7, 8, and 10. You want to see the love of God? Now you say, oh, Bill, you ripped me up. You tear me down. Well, now let me lift you up. I'll show you how glorious the Father is. Look at verses 6, 7, 8, and 10. Notice. God demonstrates His love this way. Verse 6. Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. Christ dying. Verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. God demonstrates His love towards you. That four times in four verses, He's got to tell you, my Son had to die for your sin. And we want to waltz into the throne room of grace and mercy and tell God how wonderful that we are and what we deserve. And God's like, your condition is so bad, was so bad, that I had to send my Son to die for you. And I tell you, in four places, people talk about, verily, verily, Christ is trying to express His point. Holy, 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 that word is repeated three times. God is really trying to emphasize that. Well, He's talking about the love that He has for you. And He got to mention to men four times. Because we're so willful, still to this day, as children of God, that He's got to tell us four times. I demonstrate my love towards you by me sending my Son to die for you. And realize, once again, Romans 5 is written to believers to teach them about their security in Christ, that they eternally secure. The whole argument here is to show you that your salvation is based on God, not based on your performance. God has to tell us four times that Christ died, the death of Christ, the Father delivering His Son to death for us. Powerless, ungodly sinners, enemies, contrasted against God's love for us. See? Until you see your true condition, you cannot understand the love of God. Can you realize how wicked that man is? It's amazing that God must demonstrate His love. God has to demonstrate His love. And yet James 1, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And God has to demonstrate His love towards us. He has to determine, He has to establish, He has to exhibit, He has to expose, He has to manifest, He has to prove, He has to testify, He has to validate, He has to authenticate, and He has to show His love towards you, even as a child of God. Because that's how willful and how sinful we are, even as believers. The one that gives you life, gives you health, gives you food, gives you clothing, He has to demonstrate. That just proves the condition of man. His wickedness, her wickedness. And it shows you the great love that the Father has. I'd ask you this question. Do you love the Father? Or do you just give the Father lip service? The Father, the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to glorify the Father. Not diminishing love for Christ. But the Spirit of Christ dwells inside us. As believers, the Spirit of Christ dwells inside us and He glorifies the Father. He brings out the Father's attributes. He brings out the Father's love. He is the one that glorifies His Father. Life, health, food, clothing, and yet we doubt His love. He withholds one little thing from us. God doesn't love me. Why is He doing this? It's not right. It's not fair. I'm a seeker. I've always loved God. I'm not that bad. The Bible says that you are a liar then. Scripture must remind us of His love by the simple repetition that Christ died 4 times. You were this, and I did this. You were powerless, my Son died for you. You were my enemy, my Son died for you. You were a sinner, my Son died for you. You were ungodly, you would have ripped me off my throne. But yet, I demonstrated my love to you by sending my Son to die for you. Jesus loves us and has shown it by His death on the cross. That's why Paul said, all I want to know is Christ and Christ crucified. I know everything pertaining to Christ by looking at the cross. Someone has written of Jesus Christ. It's entitled The Greatest Gift. I mentioned John 3:16 before. And this is what the person wrote about John 3:16. It's entitled Christ, The Greatest Gift. Christ, The Greatest Gift. And he used every word in the verse. God, the greatest lover, so loved the greatest degree, the world, the greatest company of people, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whosoever, the greatest opportunity, believeth, the greatest simplicity in him, the greatest attraction, should not perish, the greatest promise, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, everlasting life, the greatest possession. God has shown, He has demonstrated His agape love, His holy, sovereign, everlasting, and given love to those who were powerless, sinning enemies. And the very fact, if it bothers you to hear this, that's the very proof that that is true of your condition before Christ, and unfortunately even after knowing Christ. Because we still have this body of death, and we still rebel against His will. And if you do not fully appreciate the greatness of the love of God that He has for you, the explanation is probably that you have never really thought of yourself as the way God saw you when He demonstrated His great love for you. You've never really seen the heinousness of your sin, the darkness and blackness and wickedness, the terror and horror and condemnation. The words used in the Bible are so descriptive because sin is such an offense to Almighty God. And He says it's against this backdrop, the darkest, blackest picture that you see yourself as, that His greatest love is seen. the very fact that it's not preached in pulpits anymore. You don't want to offend people. You would rather offend God than offend people. I won't tell people their true condition because I'm a man pleaser. I won't tell them the truth about themselves. Or I won't accept what God has said about me and said about humanity. But God demonstrates His love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Paul does that in the context of assuring you of your salvation. You can never be assured of your salvation if your salvation is based on your performance. Mm. The ultimate person you're cheating is yourself. Because you can never, ever be secure. Because there was something good in you that God saw. He looked down the corridors of time, after all, and saw what you were going to do. So therefore, that's the reason why He saved me. But He says, no. It's quite the opposite. I demonstrated my love towards you when you were in this condition. And Father, we thank You for the great love that You have demonstrated to us.